Okay, everybody, eyes on me, says Jesus to his apostles today. Eyes on me is his message to them. It's a message to you too. It's a message you cannot hear often enough. And we're going to take a closer look at it here today. This is one of those rare gospels where it really helps to go through line by line. So let's do that and take a closer look. Our story starts this week where it ended last week. Remember where the story ended last week? Jesus had just multiplied the loaves and the fishes, and he fed 5,000 people in the desert. And for the first time ever, all the people were convinced this was the promised Messiah, and they wanted to make him king of Israel right there on the spot. But Jesus fled the crowds, because he knew that the kind of king they were expecting, that was not the kind of king he was going to be. They weren't ready for him yet. And so he fled the crowds and went off to the mountain alone to pray. But before he did, he put his apostles into a boat, set them out on the sea. The time was 6 p.m. Remember that. Because the very next thing the gospel says happens is that a storm whipped up on the sea and the boat was tossed about by the waves, and Jesus came to them walking on the water in the fourth watch of the night. This is no small storm. It says the boat was tossed about by the waves, and it's really unfortunate they didn't translate that directly, because you know what it actually says in the gospel? It says the boat was tortured by the waves. You ever been out in a storm so strong that you can't see through your windshield? You have to pull off the side of the road, wait for the storm to calm down? This is the kind of storm that was. The boat was tortured by the waves, so strong was the storm. And Jesus comes to them in the fourth watch of the night, because the Romans had divided the night into four watches. Each was 3 hours long. First watch of the night, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. The second watch of the night, 9 p.m. to midnight. The third watch of the night was midnight to 3 a.m. And the fourth watch of the night, when Jesus comes to them, was between 3 and 6 a.m. When did Jesus put them into that boat once again? 6 p.m. That means they've been fighting against that storm for somewhere between 10 and 12 hours. That's when they all see the last thing they ever expect, Jesus walking on the water. You hear that and you're like, yeah, Jesus walks on water. That's like what Jesus does. This is the first time anybody had ever seen anything like that. It was the last thing they ever expected. The last thing they expected at the last time they expected in the last place they expected. And his message, eyes on me. It is I. Do not be afraid. And once again, it's unfortunate they didn't translate this directly, because what he really says to them is, I forbid you to be afraid. I forbid it. It's interesting to know about the Sea of Galilee. Don't know how much you know about it. The Sea of Galilee is the lowest freshwater lake in the world. It's 700 feet below sea level. And if you know anything about below sea level real estate, you know that it's warm and humid 12 months out of the year. I've been there in January. I've been there in February. It's warm and humid all year long. And not too far away from the Sea of Galilee is a high mountain range connected to the sea by a narrow river valley. And the cold air comes down off the high mountain range, goes barreling down that valley, hits that pocket of warm, humid air, and storms spring up without warning. The Sea of Galilee is a metaphor for our lives, because in our lives, storms spring up without warning, and you never know what today might bring. Talking to a man once, his wife suddenly died in a car crash. 2 years later, his oldest son died in a car crash. And he said to me, nothing could have prepared me for how upside down my life has turned. Nothing I could have done could have gotten me ready for it. That's life. Could be a sudden death. It could be a sudden illness. You didn't see it coming. It could be an accusation or a lawsuit. But whereas once things were just fine, just like on the Sea of Galilee, suddenly there's a storm. And what do you do in the storm? You turn to God. And you say, God, where are you? And the message here for you today is that he's in the last place you'd expect, at the last time you'd expect. He's with you in the storm. Because understand, whenever you see a miracle in the New Testament, there's always, always a message. Where there's a miracle, there's always a message. God doesn't do parlor tricks. So what's the message? The message is when he says, well, effectively, eyes on me. But the words he actually uses is, it is I, don't be afraid. And again, what he actually says there is, I am, do not be afraid. Remember the story of Moses and the burning bush from the book of Exodus? Just in case you don't remember, I'll tell you. Back in the book of Exodus, Moses out in the desert sees a bush on fire, not being consumed. Totally curious, goes over to take a closer look. And it becomes a mystical revelation of God himself. And Moses turns to God in the burning bush. He says, what's your name? And God says, my name is I am. Why don't you have to be afraid? Because I am is with you in the storm. And when we keep our eyes on him, it makes all the difference. Because are you aware that most people live their lives out of one of two places? There's only two places people live the bulk of their lives. It's either out of their highest ideals or it's out of their deepest fears. It's not exclusively one or the other, but one of those two predominates. You're either living your life out of your highest ideals or you're living your life out of your deepest fears. And that's the very place the Lord wants to come and meet you. Because listen to what happens next. Peter sees Jesus walking on the water. He says, Jesus, if it's really you, call me out of the boat to come to you. Jesus says, come. Peter does the unthinkable. He gets out of the boat. Now just stop and ask yourself, would you get out of the boat? Would you get out of the boat? Not having read this gospel before. But as long as he keeps his eyes on the Lord, he walks on the water. Understand, if you were an Israelite, the image of the sea was an image of the disorder before God intervenes. Ever since the book of Genesis, if you remember the story of the creation, before God set the heavens and the earth in order, the earth was a formless wasteland. God hovered over the waters. The water was a symbol of the disorder, evil, fear, all the things that we're afraid of. Peter's walking on it. Walking on it. As long as he keeps his eyes on the Lord. But when he takes his eyes off the Lord, he looks around him. He looks at the wind. He looks at the waves. He hears the thunder. He sees the lightning. He starts to sink. And again, it's unfortunate that they didn't translate this more accurately, because what they actually say is he began to plunge to the depths. And he cries out. He says, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reaches out, grabs him, pulls him up, and looks him in the eye and says, you have a little faith. Why'd you doubt? And you know, the tone there is everything. Tone is so important in a message. That's why I hate email, because you can't hear the tone. You can't tell whether they're gently, you know, advising you or whether they're shouting at the top of their lungs. You can imagine the tone. He would have said, why'd you doubt? He says that to you too. Don't you realize I'm stronger than this storm? Don't look all around you. Don't look at the wind. Don't look at the waves. Don't look at the troubles. Don't obsess over the news. Look to me. Don't you remember that I'm stronger than this storm? That's the hallmark of a spiritual soul. Very similar to the message we heard in the first reading. First reading, one of the great readings of the entire Bible, the story of the prophet Elijah, who's running for his life because the queen of Israel, Queen Jezebel, is out to kill him. So Elijah goes and hides in a cave. And there in the cave, he hears four things. He hears the fire. He hears the wind, he hears the earthquake, and he hears a gentle whispering sound. Now, in the ancient world, three basic fears of natural disasters, earthquakes, fires, storms, they're raging all around you, aren't they? But Elijah hears the whisper. It's the hallmark of a spiritual soul. In the midst of the fire, the storm, earthquake, can you hear the whisper? Are you attentive to the presence of God? Because to be human is to be vulnerable, and all the money in the world will not save you. To be human is to realize that you could lose anything today. Today. And, you know, we labor under this illusion also. Don't tell me if this doesn't sound true. We labor under this illusion that, you know, things are about to get a whole lot better and life will get easier once I just get over this, right? Once I just get through this. Once I just finish school. Once I just pay off my loan. Once I just get a job. Once I just get a promotion. Once I just get a new promotion. Once I get retired, whatever it might be. I always think, as soon as I get over this, life's going to be just fine. And what happens is that you start going from this to that. Life is always filled with storms. And the question you have to begin to ask yourself is, during the ceaseless storms, one right into the next, where are you looking? Faith is a choice. But fear is a choice too. What do you choose? Because the difference between a believer and an unbeliever is not whether or not there's a storm in your life. The difference between a believer and an unbeliever is that the unbeliever is looking at the storm. They're looking at the news, they're looking at the bad news, they're looking at the tragedy, you know, they're clenching their fist high up onto the heavens. Their eyes are fixed on the storm and they're sinking like lead. The believer looks to the Lord. That's why I said his message to you today is eyes on me. We can never hear it enough, but it makes all the difference. That's why I'm so fond of saying, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.